immigrants flex their economic muscle.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. All over the nation, millions of immigrants stayed home yesterday as a way of demonstrating their influence on the country's economy. Many of them marched and demonstrated to demand a fairer immigration policy. There are some early indications that the boycott did have a financial impact. Figures from the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach show truck traffic was off as much as 90%. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli says Monday's demonstrations make it clear that the nation's Hispanics have plenty of economic power.
For all the businesses closed Monday because of the boycott, there were reports of others that stayed open. Spokespeople for industries that rely on immigrant labor, like hotels, restaurants, and meatpacking, said they couldn't quantify the toll of the boycott in dollars. But economist Jeff Humphreys of the University of Georgia says America's largest immigrant group adds up to a lot.
$736 billion in Hispanic spending power in 2005.
Humphreys says Latinos are the fastest growing segment of the domestic consumer market.
The percentage increase in Hispanic buying power from 1990 through 2005, we find a 247% increase.
He says by the year 2010, the economic might of Hispanics will be $1.1 trillion, more than the GDP of Canada. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Today, the French Parliament debates its own highly controversial bill on immigration. The government wants to adopt a more selective policy, giving priority to professional people who are likely to benefit the economy. Other immigrants would find it harder to get permits to stay in the country if the French government has its way. You might think high gas prices would discourage people from buying new cars, but U.S. automakers today are expected to report a boost in sales for April. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch explains how dealers are revving up demand.
Free gas. Nothing sounds sweeter when the stuff's selling for $3 a gallon. How about 0% financing? Buy that more expensive car. Automakers used incentives to hit record sales last year. Now they're bringing them back.
The spring selling period is a very aggressive selling period. It's the most robust time throughout the year.
That's auto analyst Joe Barker with CSM Worldwide. He says when new models crowd the market, incentives help a brand stand out.
It's a brutal environment. In order to protect your turf, sometimes you do have to resort to incentives.
Incentives may move sales, but Barker says they dilute the brand and cut into the bottom line. That's why some say increased incentives may just be a race to the bottom. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Meat. It's what's for dinner. And now that dinner is cheaper. The price of meat is as cheap as it's been in 3 years. An economist with the Livestock Marketing Center says they're seeing attractive prices on chicken, beef, and pork items. Those low prices are expected to continue for the rest of the year. Market's looking good. The Dow is up 56 points to 11,399. The Nasdaq flat at 2305. The S&P up 4 points at 1310. And in Tokyo this morning, the Nikkei was up 228 points, or 1.3%. This is Marketplace. Former Enron CEO Kenneth Lay may not be off the hook, but he's off the witness stand. Rachel Dornhelm says his performance has gotten mixed reviews.
Nancy Rappaport is a University of Houston law professor and wrote a book on Enron. She says while Lay's co-defendant Jeffrey Skilling at times defied his snarky reputation, the nice guy in this good cop, bad cop team didn't fare so well.
He snaps at his own lawyer. He snaps at the other side. He gets impatient. This is not the Ken Lay people are familiar with.
Rappaport says he violated two legal rules. Don't testify in your own defense. And it's really helpful to be well-prepared for the stand.
And that doesn't mean necessarily rehearse your answers, but it does mean be familiar with what your lawyer is going to ask and why.
Rappaport says Lay does get points for keeping his story simple to connect with jurors. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, committed to making America energy independent through increased use of public transportation. On the web at publictransportation.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation. helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. More and more shareholder meetings are focusing on issues like executive salaries. For example, today it was reported that Countrywide paid its CEO $160 million in compensation. Eric Talley is a law professor and economist who teaches at USC. I asked him if shareholders are trying to get more control over salaries and executive perks.
Well, that's certainly one of the things that's happening here, Mark. The shareholders are using a combination of different activities that are available at a shareholder meeting, including amending the bylaws, making threats about elections of directors, or even just having sort of advisory amendments or advisory proposals that are put before a board and are given the support of shareholders.
What's happened lately to get shareholders more active and aggressive about policies at public companies?
Well, it's probably the confluence of three different factors. First of all, last year, the SEC had been thinking about proposing a rule that would empower shareholders to have greater power themselves in nominating new potential candidates to be on the board. That didn't go down, and shareholder activists then are trying to use other mechanisms for exploring their potential power. Another effect is sort of the ever-growing executive compensation scales relative to rank-and-file employees. Shareholder activists have been increasingly vocal about disparities in pay at the top versus in the middle and at the bottom of pay scales. And finally, there's a lot more investing and activism among institutional investors, in particular pension funds and even hedge funds these days.
Talking about executive salaries, you know, sometimes that's defended when you say that, for example, an executive is getting a big perk financially, but the company is also doing very well. Shouldn't there be some compensation for that?
Well, arguably, there should be. And in fact, a lot of shareholder activists are not necessarily opposed to the idea of pay for performance. The problem is that over the years, that link between performance and pay has not been particularly tight. It's been a loose correlation, but not as tight as a lot of shareholders would prefer.
So what impact, if any, is all this new stockholder activism having on you and me, Joe and Jane consumer? Does this impact the price of goods we pay or for the services we receive?
Well, it might, Mark. I mean, from the standpoint of you and me as consumer, you have to realize that what shareholders care about is that companies maximize their bottom line, their profits. That may or may not be good for you and me as a consumer, because one of the things that companies may try to do is jack up prices, maybe increase their market power, and be able to extract more from typical consumers. On the other hand, Joe and Jane investor may be benefited much more directly from shareholder activism.
Economist Eric Talley is a law professor at USC. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks so much for joining us.
American Public Media.
How do you tell your employees?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.